getting ready for the dreaded NPTE? How about winning a fully loaded NPTE home study bundle from ptfinalexam.com? Here's how to win. Follow us on Twitter at ptpinecast or enter online at ptpinecast.com. This is the PT Pinecast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
All right, here we go. Welcome to another episode of the PT Pinecast. Thanks for telling a friend or a classmate or a coworker. The biggest way to help us out is to spread the word by telling a friend on social media, leaving a review, or just sharing it with somebody else. So we start this episode off with our traditional saying, the best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. And we are at a PT Pub Night on the weekend of PT Pub Night Untapped. We are broadcasting live from Arlington, Virginia, A-Town. And we're here today with Megan Brown, a DPT and Polestar certified practitioner of Pilates. Polestar sounds like it alludes to something else, but we'll get into that. Pilates for rehab. She uses Pilates-based therapeutic exercise to treat her patients. 8 years ago, she partnered with a licensed massage therapist and a yoga teacher to create unique Pilates and yoga studio that caters to everyone by offering skilled instruction for a variety of populations. Customized Pilates instruction is her specialty. She designs her classes and programs based on the client's needs. Athletes, new moms, rehabilitation, or just for fun. Why be serious all the time, right? Pilates and yoga, the best of both worlds, hence the creation of her studio, Mind the Mat, providing classes for all in every walk of life. Megan Brown, welcome to the PT Pinecast.
I'm happy to be here.
There we go. Well, I want to thank you, first of all. So we met. I was very sweaty. I looked very awkward, which is most of the time.
I don't remember how you looked, though, actually.
I was in the front row of your yoga studio, and I was sweaty. Uh-huh. I was trying to do some sort of yoga position. Pilates position.
They work together.
And whatever I was doing, I could see behind your eyes it angered you because I was so bad at it. It's not your fault.
You thought I was angry?
No, it was just, whatever I did, I really was trying.
I was angry, actually.
But I was like, whatever she's saying, my body doesn't do that.
Yeah, which actually is the reason I was inspired by Pilates, is the first time I went to a Pilates class, I was actually a brand new PT. And I thought, hey, I know about posture, I know about alignment. I'm just going to hop right into a level 2 class. And I got my buns served to me.
You can
literally
say ass. You can say
I
ass.
Can? Oh,
it's a podcast.
I got my ass served to me.
FCC does not exist here. No, but I mean, similar situation. We went during our X-Fiz class last year. And it was a hot Pilates. I was sweaty before we started. It's a good sign.
Yes.
I do triathlons. I've done the Ironman.
Oh, that's impressive.
Consider myself athletic.
Wow.
10 minutes in, I'm like, we're done, right?
Yeah.
This is over. We're going to get a drink after this. It's hard.
It is hard. And you said it with the whole, I'm hearing you telling me what to do, but my body's
not doing it.
And that's this whole motor learning, mind-body connection that we learn about with neuro. And I think that's why I was so inspired by Pilates is because I was passionate about neuro when I was in school. Even before PT school, I wanted to be a pediatric therapist. And really what I found out about peds is that it's all neuro. So I love neuro. I loved neuroanatomy. My first class was at NRH. My first job was at... I need to stop drinking.
Start drinking.
My first job was at NRH. On the stroke floor. So it has always been about the brain. So when Pilates came along, it was a really intriguing method of tapping into the motor control, telling your body how to move and with what muscles, instead of just a bicep curl. Like, right. You know for sure you're using your bicep to lift your beer to your mouth.
Brachioradialis curls all day.
Yes,
right here.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. But in Pilates, just because you're doing a crunch doesn't mean you're tapping into the correct muscle. And so that's where the science comes from. That's where the biomechanics comes in.
So since I use the words interchangeably, incorrectly, what is the difference between Pilates and yoga? Because I think a lot of people who don't do either do that.
Yes. So what's funny is someone in our yoga teacher training program, she's also a Pilates teacher, she says that Pilates is yoga with rules.
Okay.
And it's true. It's Pilates, though, is derived from yoga. It's named after Joseph Pilates, who took a lot of his method from yoga teachings. And it's about alignment. It's about tapping into the deep, deep core muscles, as opposed to what nowadays the word core is used so
everywhere,
much.
Everywhere.
I mean, people say, oh, core work. Yeah. But what actually does that mean? Pilates is designed to tap into the deep core muscles, the muscles that stabilize your spine, the muscles that tend to shut off during injury. That's why Pilates is usually used to treat the back. Most doctors will say, go do Pilates. You have back pain, go do Pilates, but please go to a skilled Pilates instructor.
Right. So this is kind of a different clinic setup that you've got going on at Mind the Mat. You can check out exactly what we're talking about at mindthemat.com. You can follow Megan on Twitter at Mind the Mat. So explain a little bit how that actually works or how you got involved in, because you're a private practice owner, really, but it's different. It's not necessarily standard.
I love that you just said that, because people will say to me sometimes, oh, you're a fitness instructor. And yes, kind of, I am. But no, really, you're always a physical therapist. Once you're a PT, you're always practicing at your highest degree. So that's exactly it. I'm delivering group exercise to people daily, whether it's me or it's someone else that I've trained or it's people who are programming what Mind the Mat is all about. We are constantly treating people. So it is a very large private practice that does only group exercise. We don't even do privates anymore.
But I've taken a couple Pilates classes, and the instructor, a good instructor, anyway, is always walking around. So it's a group class, but there's always someone touching me and going, not so much. Maybe do a little more of this.
Right, like you're doing it wrong,
Jimmy. You're doing it very wrong.
You're doing it very, very wrong. No, so just as if you were treating a patient and you gave your patient some home exercises that were designed to alleviate back pain, would you just say, here are these pictures, have at it, and then leave? No. So we don't hire people like that. We hire people who are able to look at what the body is doing, what the mechanics are, and how do you cue, right, verbally, tactily, with some kind of a facilitatory cue, or with actually physically putting someone in the position you want them to be in. How do you do that so that you get the result that you want? That is skilled instruction, just like with physical therapy.
That's PT, right there.
That's PT.
You just described PT.
That's why Pilates, we should own this. This is our baby. It is such a brilliant method, and I truly believe this. I am so passionate about this. I feel like every physical therapist should have Pilates training so that they have it just as another little trick in their bag.
Okay. I'm going to throw somebody under the bus.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to make it anonymous. One of my roommates, I live with three other PT students, all in the same school, all the
nice,
same year.
That's so fun.
One of them is a, you know, kind of a muscle dude.
Oh, muscle dude.
Well,
they're
hold
the
on.
Best.
I know. But he got sent on his first clinical rotation to a Pilates-based outpatient ortho.
There is a God.
And he was so mad.
All
right. Okay, hold on.
Oh,
no, now I'm going to take him out from under the bus. By the end of him being there, he actually said, this is kind of cool. You should learn some of this stuff. So you have a convert.
I love converts.
But I'm not going to throw him under the bus and use his name. I'm not going to say his name. Just bleep that out. But I think that you had said Pilates for rehabilitation. Why should it be in your bag of tricks if you're a physical therapist? And I won't even put a field of study. I won't say neuro or ortho. It should be in your bag of tricks forever.
No matter what you're doing. In fact, if you're an ortho therapist, please study neuro. Please. I mean, come on.
Patients don't just have bones and muscles.
No,
they have nerves.
They don't. It's all controlled by your big, fat brain. And then if you're a neurotherapist, please do ortho. They go so well together. In fact, there's this brilliant PT, Diane Nichols. I met her at NRH when I was just a wee lass at 26, a brand new therapist. And she treated one of my patients when I was sick. And I came back and she was doing everything. She was walking, she was transferring independently, and beautifully, by the way, I might add. And I said, Diane, how did you do that? She was like, you know what? It was actually orthopedics. I learned some of this in orthopedics. And I was a very neuro-focused person at that point. And I think that really influenced me to learn more about Pilates, because Pilates was really only used in orthopedics. And then I got into orthopedics, loved it, and then meshed the two together.
So when you opened your clinic, which was about 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
You partner with a licensed massage therapist and a yoga teacher to create a unique Pilates studio.
Yes.
So you say bridging the gap, the PT fitness gap.
Yes. Yes.
So how does that come into play in your practice?
What's funny is just before we started this pint cast, someone asked me, oh, so do you do PT or are you in fitness? And I said, well, I actually don't call it fitness. When you're a PT and you're in that realm, you call it wellness.
Okay.
Because you have that extra medical background that allows you to treat the entire body.
The person. ICF model, the person.
The entire person. What I'd love to see is more PTs doing what I do.
Yeah.
Because back in my day, when I was graduating from physical therapy, there were no jobs. And all we were doing was whining that other professions were taking what we do. They were encroaching on our profession. And we recovered. We are back. And I think constantly thinking outside the box and taking the expertise, owning or practicing in a certain way that reaches more people is what we need to be doing. Because right now it's about prevention. And who knows where healthcare is going to be in 20 years, but I can touch 20 to 30 people in 1 hour, way more than I ever could doing one-on-one patient care. And the skills that people are learning within 1 hour is going to improve their lives immensely. And they keep coming back. They come back every week. They come back every day.
My soapbox as a PT student so far, coming from a radio marketing background, is that PT's got an image problem.
Yes.
We don't know where we fit.
No.
And if you ask my parents, who are watching their firstborn son spend $100,000 to get a degree, even they're like,
is that how much it is now?
Yeah, about $110,000.
Oh, sorry about
that.
Well,
at a private school like Marymount, but I'm just saying. It's
pretty
normal.
I went to that school too. It was a lot different back then.
But I think the image problem is this, is we did a couple years ago let other fitness or health professionals kind of encroach on what we do, but I don't think we ever took it back in terms of image.
What do you mean by let? What does that mean, let? Because there were more than entitled to it, right?
Okay.
At one point, when everyone started using a physio ball,
right,
we were like, that's not called a yoga ball. That's a physical therapy ball. We've been using those for years. You know, it's time to move on.
Right.
And it's time to always think, well, where do we fit in? We fit into everything. I was in private practice, actually, before I started Mind the Mat, and I had a very small neurological Pilates practice where all I saw were one-on-one chronic stroke, and I loved it and it was very rewarding, but I didn't feel like I was making a difference. And I would love to see PTs thinking globally, just thinking, how can we change the world? How can we change healthcare? How can we reduce debt? I mean, think about how much healthcare costs these days. So how can we prevent that? How can we save Medicare? I mean, Medicare doesn't have to be our enemy. It can be our friend. What if we just made sure that everyone was healthy before they needed Medicare?
Preach.
I'm trying.
So PT with a wellness focus, that's pretty much what you're saying right there.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes I do see patients one-on-one, but I say, this is how much I cost and this is my schedule. And usually I get about 50% who take me up on it, and then I get to refer out. And that's the other beauty about a PT wellness business, is that I am constantly promoting physical therapy. If someone comes to me and they have an issue, I'm like, I've got this great guy in Seven Corners. You have got to go see him. He is brilliant with the foot. Or I know Carrie James Pagliano. I can get you in with her for women's health. It's constantly directing people, and with the masses of people that we have at Mind the Mat, understanding more about what physical therapists do. And I can't tell you how many times I've had someone say, well, I've been going to a chiropractor for 8 years and I haven't been helped yet. And I'm like, well, let me introduce you to someone who can teach you how to move your body in a different way. And I think it's opened up a lot of doors for physical therapists, but also for clients and people. It's changed their lives to understand on a deeper level what we do.
I think that's a really good focus. And that kind of goes along with my soapbox again, in terms of making sure people, and by people, I mean patients right now, patients in the future, know what PT can do.
Yes.
Because since I got to PT school, I probably could have named 3 specialties when I got here. And now I think you could invent your own tomorrow if you really had a focus. I think there's some amazing stuff that PT can do, and we just have to let them know.
Well, and that goes back to, you said if there's a focus, you could invent something somewhat of a specialty. And that comes from, this is going to sound so corny, but it comes from your passion. What is your passion? And whatever that is, you're exactly right. You can take that and find out how can you reach people with your passion. So mine just happened to be Pilates. How can I reach tons of people to let them know about what physical therapy is? And how you move your body in a different way so that you don't get injured, so that you don't have postural issues, so that you don't die younger, really. And so that's how it works, is your specialty comes out of what your passion is. And I love that you said you can just invent it. You really can.
If there's a population out there that needs it, you can be that physical therapist that delivers it.
You can, especially in the D.C. area.
I like that very much. All right, we're going to be back in 60 seconds. We're going to talk about what beers we're drinking. We're also going to get into starting your own practice. Now, this is something I want to get into.
Oh, good.
A topic I want to get into. And we're also talking about looking ahead.
Yes.
All right, back in 60 seconds on the PT Pinecast with Megan Brown. Don't move.
The NPTE. The big, scary monster that waits for you at the end of PT school. To pass, just answer a question every 72 seconds for 5 hours on topics you've been covering over the last 3 years of PT school. Ugh, no pressure, right? Well, the PT Pinecast has your back. We've teamed up with PTFinalExam.com to get you through the test with ease. We're giving you a chance to win a PT Final Exam Home Study Bundle, loaded with a study guidebook with over 200 pages of critical info, over 200 sample NPTE questions, over 25 hours of video lectures that cover the topics and practice questions, a recorded version of the popular Mastermind Study Groups, and a case full of beer. Oh, wait, there's no beer? Okay, never mind. This is how you pass the NPTE without losing any sleep. Here's how to win. Follow us on Twitter at PT Pinecast. Sign up to win online at ptpinecast.com and find us at the National Student Conclave in Omaha. We're giving away 3 PT Final Exam Home Study Bundles. Get yours now from PT Final Exam and the PT Pinecast. This is the PT Pinecast.
All right, and we're back on the PT Pinecast talking with Megan Brown, owner of Mind the Mat. You can check her out online. Follow her on Twitter, at Mind the Mat. Website is mindthemat.com, here in the D.C. area, and a graduate of the school that I went to.
That's right. I was the third class to come in, actually.
Wow.
It was not even accredited.
Wait, you're on the wall? There's graduation photos on the wall. We haven't
found you yet. I'm on the wall.
We've got to find you.
Yeah, I might be on a certain plaque as well.
Oh! What are we drinking tonight?
I'm a big fan of Optimal Wit.
Optimal Wit.
Yes, Port City Brewery, local Alexandria. Whoop, whoop, Alexandria.
Right. We are recording live tonight from A-Town. It is a bar about 100 yards away from the Marymount University Physical Therapy Campus. In case you're thinking about getting into physical therapy, a PT school with a bar within 100 yards is probably one you want to look into. I think they'll give me like $50 off my tuition for that little plug.
Definitely. Maybe 100.
Make sure to share us online if you like what you're hearing. You can check us out at ptpinecast.com or at ptpinecast. Starting your own business. You did it 8 years ago. We hear a lot about this. When to do it, when not to do it, if you should do it. How do you know? When I was in college, I was a bartender. Mm. My uncle owned a bar. Mm-hmm. I walked in there as a senior. I was a bartender. It was the greatest job of my life. At the end of the summer, I said, I never want to own a bar. In the beginning, I would have told you, I want to own 50 bars. How do you know? And how does it happen?
I opened Mind the Mat 8 years ago, but I opened the small private physical therapy practice, I want to say in 2005, so that was 10 years ago.
So that was how many years after you graduated?
Only four.
Practicing for 4 years. When did you start thinking about, hey, I could do this on my own?
When I started seeing really poor care, and that's a really strong answer, but I'm sorry. I went from NRH where I got highly, highly skilled training from the best PTs in the country, in the world, really. And then I went into home care, and I was seeing a lot of poor care, and it sucked. I mean, really, and I thought, how can I make a difference? What can I do? Went into orthopedics. I found that what I had learned from a neuro perspective was not really being taught mainstream. And then I got into Pilates, and I thought, well, Pilates is neuro.
Right.
It is. And what if, and I had a couple partners, but Allison Licky, I don't know, everyone's got to know Allison Licky. She and I got together with Matt Elrod, and we partnered with, from an office share perspective, with Susan Ryerson, who is the neuro guru in the world. I love, she's amazing. And we got into a situation where we were able to office share. So the risk was not as high.
What does that mean? I've heard it, but what does that mean?
Grace, she already had an established practice with physical therapy equipment, neuro equipment, and we wanted to be a neuro practice. So, but she didn't want to be there every day. She wanted to split time. So she rented out her office to us on Monday, let's call it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And we brought in our Pilates equipment and we got some of our own patients. She fed patients to us. We had our other patients from marketing, and it was a small, small practice, but we were able to control what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it, and we saw great results.
So you're kind of dividing the risk, dividing the cost.
Completely. And whenever I talk to people about starting their own practice, they say, well, weren't you so stressed or weren't you scared? I said, no, I wasn't scared. Someone had already laid the groundwork. There wasn't a lot of risk. So if I could give you any bit of advice, try to find an office chair. Someone that doesn't, you know, want to be there full time anymore, is on the verge of kind of like one foot in, one foot out, and rent space from them. So I mean, that's how that started.
You're a good option to them because they've got it and you're taking some of their bills off of their hands.
Oh, completely. It worked perfectly until I figured out that I didn't want to do that anymore.
And when was that moment like? Because it wasn't like you said, I don't want to do private practice anymore. You just wanted to do something different, which is great. Evolving, changing, that's what we constantly did.
Yes, evolving and changing and always looking ahead. And I wanted to reach more people with less time. I'm sorry, but I wanted more.
Did it come like that? I wanted to reach more people in less time. How can I do that? Or did you find Pilates and say, wow, I can reach more people in less time? Which way did it go?
Oh, gosh, that's such a great question. I've never heard that. I found Pilates. I had no idea I could reach as many people. And then as I went into private practice, the first small private practice, I realized what I really liked was the wellness portion, because we had small group classes. And with the small group classes, I found that I had, this is a little selfish, but I had more energy at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like I was getting more people.
We're working with 10, 15, 20 people at a time. That's,
yes.
And you're watching them all do the same thing, and you can kind of look across and see who's doing what and where they're lacking and where they're not.
Completely. And I learned that from NRH, actually. I was one of the PTs for over a year that helped run a stroke group. So we would have several people at one time with lots of safety issues doing very skilled training. So that, I have to say that if I didn't have the PT, I wouldn't be the Pilates teacher that I am now. I wouldn't be able to run a group class like I do now.
Is Pilates PT in motion in a group?
Yes, Pilates is PT in a nutshell.
In a group?
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't have to be in a group, but it typically is.
In anything. Yeah, it is. I remember going through the training in Pilates and thinking, I'd been a PT for about 2 years, and as I'm sitting through the theory, I'm thinking, gosh, this sounds oddly familiar.
PT school.
And yeah, and it took me like an hour, maybe because I'd gone out the night before, but I was like, this is physical therapy. And if some of it had been taught this way, I feel like I might have gotten it sooner. But maybe it's part of the journey of PT school, right, is like the mystery. But it really was PT in a nutshell, and it clicked. It really clicked with me. And I became a way better PT after my Pilates training. My patients had better results, better outcomes after Pilates.
Well, I remember I worked in an outpatient ortho clinic here in the D.C. area this summer. And I remember a couple weeks in, I started noticing that some of the younger patients who might be baseball players, they were purposefully kind of scheduled at the same time so they could kind of rehab at the same time. Oh, I was like, oh, that's smart. That's a smart way to do it. That's kind of the advantage of Pilates. That's why things like CrossFit or Pilates or, you know, training for Spartan races, that's why those things are so advantageous, because you know what? Working out sucks alone. I mean, sometimes it doesn't. I like to go on a solo run, but sometimes I like to go for a group bike ride. So maybe that's an advantage for Pilates, is that it's a group. You're held accountable.
It's a group of like-minded people. And I have to say, I disagree with you on the working out sucks, because I think at Mind the Mat, we've broken ground.
But what I mean is, you look forward to it there.
I look forward to it there.
But if I'm like, all right, I know it's a gym day, it's leg day, I got to go there by myself and do a bunch of stuff. That's the kind of working out sucks.
Oh, it's
if I'm not looking forward to it, and I like working out as much as anybody.
Yeah.
But if you can make it fun,
and you're together and there's motivation, and it's a tribe. It really is a tribe mentality.
Yeah.
you're all there for the same reason. You all want the same outcome. Your goals are different, but you're there on common ground. And there really is this feeling, this camaraderie that comes out of group exercise, whether it's back at NRH with the stroke group or it's the baseball players. You're all in the same spot.
I like that you use the word tribe. There's a book by a guy named Seth Godin, and he calls tribes. It's a bunch of people who are like-minded that can communicate with each other. And when you get them in a room together, working out together, people wind up pulling for each other more than they compete with each other in situations like that. And that makes you work harder.
Yeah, you know, the whole competition thing is interesting because when I first got into the Pilates industry, I was not welcomed. I was not. So there are several schools in Pilates. There's a governing association, the PMA, Pilates Method Alliance. And but back in 2004, everywhere I would go, people would ask me who I was certified through, and just thought it was so interesting. No one ever asked me, well, what PT school did you go to?
What team are you on?
What team? Yeah,
you on my team or not?
I didn't know how to answer the question, and it almost made me a little defensive. Well, I am Polestar trained, which was started by a physical therapist, and I didn't want to join that mindset.
Yeah.
And I really feel like in the past 10 years that competitive aspect has changed, and which is great.
From Pilates instructor to Pilates instructor?
Yes.
Okay. See,
yes.
I was talking about the camaraderie necessarily in the class.
Same though. Same. There's
really?
Also, yes. It depends on what you're fostering in your class when you're teaching.
That's a good point.
And we've had instances where people have been competitive. And that's not our vibe. And you know what? Hey, to each their own, right? Like, if that's what you like, then do that. I'm not going to fight against it. But we're at Mind the Mat, we really like to foster a more fun, tribe-like environment where, you know, you walk in, we love to see you. And we love to see you get more skill. You got skills. Yeah, we want you to succeed. It's not about, how long did she hold her plank yesterday compared to Betty Joe. You know, it's more about, I'm just glad you're coming to class, and I'm glad that you're enjoying it, and I'm glad that you're loving Pilates and yoga.
And you're getting better whatever reason you came here
right.
for. Even if it was for wellness, you're still on your way to being well.
Completely. And, you know, there was a soapbox time for me as well where I used to be a little snobby about what your workout was. So, you know, whether it was one certain brand of functional training, CrossFit. You know, there was a time where I was like, oh, don't do CrossFit. You're going to get hurt. No, not anymore. Do what you love. Okay? Do what you love. Do a triathlon. Run a marathon. But please take care of yourself. Just take the steps to make sure that you don't get injured. And whether that's cross training, which would include Pilates, which would include yoga, then please come see us. Please go see someone who's really skilled at what they do so that you can do CrossFit, you can do a triathlon, you can be a part of your tribe, whatever it is.
Instead of looking at it more like your method sucks.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, are you doing your method correctly? Are you doing it
exactly.
safely? Are you having fun?
Exactly. And, you know, if your method involves repetitive motion, like let's say you're a cycler, I love SoulCycle. It is like my new addiction. But I better counter that with some yoga and Pilates because you don't want to be in a flexed position all day for an hour.
You don't want to just do bench press. You got to do some pulls as well. You got to balance that out or else you'd be a monkey. You'd be like this.
Yeah, you've got to counter what you do, which is, you know, it's cross training. It's physical therapy. It's wellness. It's balance.
Way to bring that back. That's
yes,
right. That's exactly what it is.
It's about balance. Yeah.
That's what we're taught to do. Treat what you see. Is there an imbalance somewhere?
Exactly.
Is that what's causing your pain? Is that what's causing your discomfort?
Exactly. And what we haven't really gotten into yet is, you know, the method of Pilates. And that's one of the things that I was astounded by as a new PT is when I went into the training, I was able to assess people much better. Just from them performing the precise Pilates moves, you were able to assess their movement with these pure alignments that you're asking people to get into. And it was amazing to me. So if I have someone in my class and they're not doing a specific move correctly, I can walk up to them afterwards and be like, hey, please go call Carrie James Pagliano at Georgetown University and go get your diastasis looked at. It's, you know, it's a really great tool to assess a large group and really funnel them into the the best clinician.
Words like assess and alignment and posture, they sound like PT terms too.
Completely.
Same thing.
That's what they are.
All right, I looked this up. I Googled it because I knew I was going to talk to you. What do you think? How long was the world record plank held for? How long?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I might have seen this on Facebook recently.
How long?
15 hours.
A little shorter. Five hours and 15 minutes.
I was going to say 5 hours.
Go with your gut.
I'm sorry.
Go with your core.
Go with my core. Oh, dang.
All right. Always looking ahead. What does looking ahead mean to Megan Brown?
So things are going to change. They always change.
In the industry, for you?
Everything.
Okay.
Especially if we're focusing on PT, PT is going to change. And, you know, the example that I used when I was in school, there was a huge change, Balanced Budget Act of 1997, completely changed the popularity of physical therapists, how much they were paid, everything. And, oh my goodness, she was in my class. That's crazy.
A woman walking by in the bar right now is in your class?
Yes, she was in my class.
What are the odds?
That's amazing. So I haven't seen her in 15 years. So it was a scary time, as I alluded to before. And I will never forget, I think we were in some kind of like PT as a manager class or something that you have to take.
I just took that last semester.
Anyway, so on the first day of class, everyone was down in the dumps. We had just heard that all the people from the last class were not getting jobs. Yeah. Some people were waiting tables. She read us this book, Who Moved My Cheese?
Yeah.
Do you know that book?
I do know that book.
So my kids have that book. It's like a five-year-old level Who Moved My Cheese as well. And it was more of like, listen, it's not always going to be the same. You can't count on whatever you're doing to bring in the money or to bring in the stability of your life or also to bring in the joy. I certainly did not plan when I graduated from PT school to own a Pilates and yoga studio. If someone had told me that, I would have laughed. I never would have thought that. It just evolved and happened because I really feel like I was always looking ahead. In fact, today, I had a lot of calls about looking ahead. What are we doing next? Because there's always something, we have to talk a little bit about competition, there's always something around the corner that might encroach a little bit on what you've got going on. Let's all share the love, right? We could go. That goes so far, but also you have to feed your kids, you have to make a living, you have to stay up with the competition. So I think it's important to always think outside the box and think about how you can use your skills to better reach people.
We were just talking earlier about a screen that I was going to do for police officers and firefighters, part of my PT Day of Service pledge. And who says I can't be a PT that just caters to firefighters and police officers? There's always going to be cops and firefighters, and those guys are always going to be getting hurt.
You can do whatever you want. That is, okay, I'll be a little patriotic. This country allows us to do whatever we want.
And America!
I think sometimes people get a little pissed off about this country, but you know what? We can do whatever we want. We really can. And you can take your degree and you can take your passion, whatever your passion, take your passion and turn it into something. You can turn it into something. So I think that's a great idea.
I might delete that from the episode because I don't want someone stealing my idea.
I think you might have to.
All right, so
listen, there are a lot to go around.
That's the point. I mean, I had that idea because my dad and four uncles and my cousin and my brother, New York City firefighters, New York City cops,
and
I just saw what they went through. Who's going to pay for it? I don't know. I'll figure that out when I get there.
Donations.
That's the greatest nation in the world. Yeah.
Donations. Yeah, but start a nonprofit.
All right.
There you go.
Me and Megan Brown starting stuff. Let's do it.
I just started one on Monday.
What's it for? Tell us about the nonprofit.
Oh,
I didn't know that. You didn't tell me to tell about that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So my older son has special needs in the sense that, you know, a lot of people seem like, or they look at him and he seems like he's just, you know, a normally developing kid and he's 9 years old and he just got some major attention deficit issues, some major language issues. There's more and more research out about exercise and how exercise not only prolongs your life, but it improves your focus. And I would love to educate or instill some kind of program in public schools. I'm actually partnering with two of my best friends, Kate Moran, who's in the Department of Education, who's a CrossFit Kids coach, and other best friend, Gina White, who is getting her master's in mindfulness. And so I know, he's blowing his mind right now. If we could bring that trifecta into the schools, and just teach teachers, they already know it, they already know the theory, but teach them how to integrate it into their classrooms and make sure that if there's a time when no one's focusing, or even there's one or two kids, like, hey, let's get up, let's cross midline, let's do a downward facing dog. As Kate would say, let's have a burpee contest. And that would be a complete nonprofit. That would be us going in and donating our time and our expertise to help kids learn better.
I didn't know, we didn't talk about this before the episode, I didn't know you did this, but something that brought me eventually to radio was, in fifth grade, Mrs. Kostick used to say, don't laugh at Jimmy, you'll only encourage him, because I used to be the class clown. I wasn't trying to be disruptive, I couldn't sit still, I couldn't focus,
I couldn't help it.
So then I go to radio, I do radio, and then eventually I go to PT school, I do PT school, I start a podcast, I talk to you about the nonprofit. What is it called, where can we find more information?
We just had our initial meeting on Monday.
Okay.
I've had such a hard time with my son this first month of school that I thought, how can I help him without the drugs, without the IEP process? How can I help him? And how can, same concept as Mind the Mat. How can I spread it to as many
larger group
as possible? How can we go global? You just educate. You just tell people what to do. You train people. When is the time to do it? When do you... break it down and make it fun for kids, make it fun to learn, but also fun to move. So I don't know where it's going to go. It's a brand new, fresh idea. I feel like Mind the Mat needs to reach out and mind what matters.
So let's make this a teaser for a future episode once this thing gets rolling.
Perfect.
We call this in radio the forward tease.
I love that.
So we'll talk about this once you start getting it on the ground and start running, and we'll talk about that and how we can have PT schools and PT students and PTs across the country help out.
That makes me want to work harder.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, so each episode is a pint. I think we got a pint full right there, but I always ask for a shot at the end. So, parting shot, if you were to be able to tell PT students across the country, maybe new grads, something you wish you knew either while you were in school or just before you graduated or just after you graduated, one thing to focus on or one clinical pearl, one pearl of wisdom for Megan Brown, what would it be? What should we know?
Don't follow what everyone does. Think about, for sure, what is it in your bones that makes you click, makes you tick, makes you run? What is that? Find it, cultivate it, get really, really good at it. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Don't worry about what other people are saying. If you know it's good, spread it, cultivate it, do it.
I like that. Short and sweet, fits into an ounce and a half shot glass.
Well, it better be Fireball.
We'll do that now at the end of the episode.
Uh-oh.
You can find more information about Megan at mindthemat.com on Twitter, mindthemat. Is it cool if people reach out and email? I always usually ask that.
Oh, please, yes. Megan at mindthemat, M-E-G-A-N at mindthemat.com.
I've asked people in your situation practicing PTs, and I said, is it cool for students and new grads to reach out? Because I was always reluctant. I didn't want to step on toes or seem too forward.
I felt the same way.
But cool that people email you?
Absolutely. Especially what most people email me or ask me questions about, like, how do I get started in Pilates? What should I do? I love to talk about that.
All right.
Yeah.
Perfect thing to go out on right there. Thank you for your time talking to students and PTs and clinicians around the country.
Loved it.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Megan Brown and her very own PT Pinecast. Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at PT Pinecast or check out the newly designed website. Thanks to my partner in crime, Tom Stormer, online at ptpinecast.com. Remember to share the love. The episodes are free. Thank you very much, Megan. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.